afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Etan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, The Fetch.
Thank you very much, Mary, for that. From Amman Jordan, this is The Fetch, and welcome to Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Today's date is Thursday, August the 2nd, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon to evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon. Late evening, to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Amman remains unseasonably comfortable, with temperatures reaching a high of only 82 degrees today under what was largely partly cloudy skies. Actually, throughout much of the day, the overcast was actually probably greater than 50%. So not a whole lot of sunshine today. The winds were pretty brisk, 14 to 16 miles per hour coming out of the west northwest, which is about the Tel Aviv direction as the crow would fly. And as the evening settled in, the clouds pretty much remained. I haven't looked outside in a while, but as of about 10 o'clock, we still had some overcast skies here. Nice breeze coming through the house. Just very, very comfortable. By 10 o'clock this evening, we were already down to 70 degrees. And we are currently resting at 68 degrees at just after 1 o'clock in the morning here locally. This nice weather is not the story throughout much of the West, as high temperatures in Europe and elsewhere are really starting to take a toll. Let me see if I can get this mouse to work here, everybody. It's kind of slow to move today. I'm not sure why. Anyways, the nice weather is not the story throughout much of the West, as high temperatures in Europe have had a devastating effect on European wheat crops. That in turn has sent futures for wheat soaring with the temperatures as crop yields continue to fall. The situation is catastrophic in Northern Europe, said analyst André Dufoy, and he is with a company called Strategy Grains. The consultancy last week cut its forecast for this year's soft wheat harvest in the EU. Collectively, the world's largest wheat grower, below, 130 million tons, and that's going to be a six-year low, and it may actually have to revise that figure down once again. France is the EU's top producer in the bloc. It has experienced extreme weather, prompting forecasters in France to cut their estimates to around 34 million tons, and that's going to be down from 36.6 million tons that were harvested last year. Scandinavia and other Baltic states are also suffering. Sweden's wheat crop has fallen something like 40% this year, while in Britain, wheat crops are expected to fall to a five-year low, and farmers there are really anxiously kind of awaiting, because it's really not harvest time yet up in the UK. Now, reacting to the crisis, European Commission has said today that it would speed up payments to farmers hit by the extreme drought and allow them to use the fallow land that normally would not be used for production to feed their livestock. Now, as harvesting has progressed north over in Europe, a company called Agritel revised its estimate for the European all wheat crop by 3 million tons in the past week. So it's going to be down something like 15 million metric tons this year. And this is kind of going back to figures that were 2007 to 2008-ish. Euronext milling wheat futures now have hit a five-year high of 214.5 euros. That's $249.36 per ton today. So that's definitely possibly going to now help American farmers because they are going to possibly be able to tap into the shortfalls. Now, Germany's wheat crop has wilted. It wilted pretty much in May, and they are expecting now to shrink something like 25% this year in Germany. And crops have not been as badly damaged in France as Germany. But again, the key point here for the United States is that you farmers out there, you might start to see a little bit more extra growth now because the European crop really looks like it's going to come in pretty dismal. We don't think we're going to get the same food crises that we had going back, really 10 years ago, where we had the food price, we had the food and the flour and the shortages and all the people complaining that we might have famines and stuff spreading through Africa and stuff like that. But it doesn't look like it's going to get that bad because last year, basically it was a global bumper crop. So there's a lot of grain in reserve. So that's just kind of a latest update with the weather. And of course, if you want to go back to the United States out west, as we say, the hottest place on planet Earth is known as Death Valley. And in July, it is officially now, it's actually not official, but it's preliminarily officially recorded its hottest month ever. The preliminary results suggest that the average monthly temperature was 108.1 degrees Fahrenheit. You know, that to me doesn't seem all that high. I would think that we're actually hotter than that. But that's what it is, I guess. So, anyways, so we'll see about that. They're going to check that, and pretty soon maybe you're going to hear about global warming on an exponential scale now. But it's really been bad throughout Europe. It's been bad in Spain. Spain's been hit by a lot of dust coming up from the Sahara, the African continent, making its way. So, you know, Portugal, they're talking about 108 degrees in Portugal, a lot of dust on the Iberian Peninsula. And so it's been kind of miserable for people. But here in Amman, folks, I swear, it has been absolutely, fantastic weather. And I can't understand why. I'm not used to actually having weather that is just this nice. It's really been quite, quite pleasant. Let's see. We are not live streaming today, just to post to everybody. If you're making your way over to the live stream and listening to Revolution Radio, the stream here on Revolution Radio, we are not going to live stream again today. We're just going to focus on the show as a radio show. So that is going to be canceled again. I don't know when I'm going to actually revise that or revive that, I should say. I'm just not sure when I might be doing that. You can join us in the chat room, of course, inside the iLive.com. I'm making my way over there now. Live, you can go to InsideTheEyeLive.com, click on the live chat button, or go to live under InsideTheEyeLive /live_chat, and that will usually open the door there. I'm actually now pulling it up. It's loading. You would think with my new fiber it would load quick, but sometimes no. I see Defy the Parasite snippets. Hi, snippets. Hope things are going well for you up in Canada. And if Hanshan, you're there already, is that you today or is that from Saturday? No, that looks like today. Hanshan, hi. Welcome. And again, nice to hear from you guys and see you guys. It's been kind of quiet here in Amman. I've been kind of taking my vacation. Everybody, it's been a wonderful day here in Amman. I've had a bacon breakfast and a bourbon in 7 evenings. So I'm on, I think, my fourth glass tonight. Along with some argila, I've just been chilling out the brain. And I don't know why, but I've just felt like doing it. We're going to have another party here tomorrow. I've only got about 3 more weeks to go, and I'm actually going to have to head back to Saudi Arabia, get back to work. I may have to make a trip in this coming week. Because as summer now is coming, not really to a close, but usually in July, early August. That's vacation time for all the Saudis who can afford to get away, and those are usually the type of clients I have. So everybody is now starting to return to the Saudi Arabia, and so now that means everybody's going to have to get back to work. Vacation for all of us is coming due. I've had a great vacation, as you guys know. I started middle of May, so June, July, and now heading into August, so it's going to be a really 3-month vacation. So I'm looking actually forward to get back to work. I'm tired of spending. It would be nice to get back to work, I guess you could say. Guys, it was a great breakfast. This morning it was just bacon. That's right. It was bacon and bacon and bacon. They brought me some bacon this morning, and it wasn't cooked to my satisfaction. So then we had them recook it again and kind of crisp it up a little bit, and that made the bacon quite fantastic this morning. And that was my that's not true. I had actual ham. That's right, everybody. I had a ham and bacon breakfast. No eggs. Actually, I was out of eggs in the house. I'm almost never out of stock, but I was actually out of eggs in the house today. So I didn't have ham, bacon, and eggs at breakfast. I only had the ham and bacon breakfast, and I'm probably going to do the same tomorrow. I've got one more slab of ham left. I just bought a kilo of just, that's like 2.2 pounds, everybody, of bacon that comes, I believe, from Ukraine or Greece or Cyprus, something like that. I think it's Cyprus. I'd have to take a look, but it's absolutely fantastic stuff. It's just delicious. I mean, you could just barely cook it and it tastes like ham. You crisp it up a bit and it's a fantastic little bacon. And that's all I got to say. It's a fantastic bacon. And I've got some of my Saudi beef bacon here, beef breakfast strips, but I prefer the pork, everybody. So that's it. I bought about, 6 kilos, 10 pounds, a little 12 pounds of pork the other day, just because I'm leaving soon. So I'm just going to try to load up on the nice breakfasts, everybody, and enjoy it quite a bit. All right, telephone lines, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. So you can give us a call here. We'd love to have your calls in. We don't have any guests lined up for today. Going to be kind of a casual show. Move along, talk about really politics in the U.S., politics in the U.K. for the most part, and some Syrian updates. One of the issues that I thought was rather interesting is you fires, of course. Fires is a big issue in California. As a lot of you know, I'm from California, and we're used to fires. I know back in the day, you know, fires would start August, September, October. Seems like fires are starting a lot sooner now. They've got quite a lot of fires going now. The state's biggest wildfire is called the Carr Fire in Redding. It's burned through something like 112,000 acres so far. It's just 30% contained. It's shut the Yosemite National Park in California. It shut that down, which is a very rare event And then I was reading today something kind of disturbing, and I made sure I sent my tweet out to let people know I wasn't too happy about it. But the U.S. ambassador to Israel tweeted out from the U.S. embassy. I don't know if it was the actual ambassador who tweeted it, but somebody tweeted out here that David Friedman, again, the U.S. ambassador to Israel, he was visiting the southern part of Israel, a place called Sderot or something like that. He was visiting a fire station this morning, and he met with firefighters who have been working to extinguish fires along the border with Gaza, the open-air concentration camp that Jews run down there. And included in this tweet were 10 American firefighters. That's right, 10 American firefighters. And the American firefighters, they volunteered through this project called the Emergency Volunteers Project. And it's an organization that brings American firefighters to Israel to help Israeli counterparts fight fires caused by whatever. Now, the big rage right now in Jewish media is what they call terror kites. That's how lame Jewish people are, quite frankly, when you look at it from a geopolitical scene. They are calling kites that are got incendiary tails, they call them terror kites. Now, here's a people, a race of people, a religion of people, whatever you want to refer to the state of Israel, the all-Jewish state, this racist, hyper-criminalized type of country. And they've literally blasted Gaza to rubble. I mean, it is just nothing but a pile of rubble. And essentially what they then do is they go back every few days and they blow up the rubble, shift the rubble around, try to catch and kill some more people. And they're doing this daily. They've killed like 160 people along the border with Gaza so far. And here they're talking to us Americans and the world at large about terror kites. And I'm thinking, you guys have got to be some of the dumbest, stupidest morons going on planet Earth today. And the sad part is that America supports these idiots. And here you're reading about all these fires in America where we've had a couple firemen killed so far. They found four that were missing today, by the way. We've got fires that kill 40, 50, 60 people a year now in California. And they have the chutzpah, the arrogance to tweet out to the world that American firefighters aren't helping America. They're over there helping a enemy of the United States, which is, of course, the state of Israel. And it's like, why are you guys there? You should be, you know, I'm taking this Jewish approach, but they should be shunned. They should be taken from their jobs, you know, all that type of stuff that Jews like to say to us all the time. But you got to really ask these guys straight up, why are you over there helping an enemy of the American people? Oh, you get a photo op with an ambassador? Big freaking deal, dude. Why are you helping our enemy? Why are you over there why are you over in Israel and not helping Americans? What is wrong with these people, these 10 individual firefighters? What American traitorous sleaze, as far as I am concerned? They should be on the front lines in California, somewhere in America, helping their fellow Americans. But no, they run off to a foreign country and help this foreign racist terrorist nation. And then they somehow they want to tweet to the world that this is supposed to be a wonderful thing for us Americans. I found it highly offensive, egregious, disgusting of these 10 individuals. And quite frankly, I really hope that their names get released so that we can understand who they were, where they came from, and that they can properly be talked to about why is it that they are helping a racist, really psychopathic nation like the state of Israel. It's something that we really need to stop people from doing. Another interesting story that's been making the headlines and here and Twitter and elsewhere is the recent faux pas, or whatever you want to call it, with Jim Acosta. And if you're not familiar with Jim Acosta out there, everybody, he's the Washington correspondent for CNN. And CNN is one of the dumbest fake news networks going today. And of course, Donald Trump has been verbally open about the fact that the media, Jewish media, he doesn't say Jewish media, he just says mainstream media, is an enemy of the American people. They clearly are an enemy of the American people. And Acosta was up there and on the stage. And let me see if I got this actual. I think I actually got something here I can share with you about that. Because he's actually out there. Let me see if this will play. I think this will play. Let me see if I got the right clip
here. Now, CNN's chief White House correspondent, Jim Acosta, he has been one of the worst offenders. And the crowds at last night's Trump rally in Tampa, Florida, well, they told him in person what they think of him and his network. Take a look.
The White House has held only three briefings for the press this month and eight total since the end of May. There is no other way to describe what the White House is doing these days. Well, top officials, including the president, are hiding from the press. And, Wolf, just to give you a sense as to what's happening right now, you can hear there is a chorus of boos and other chants from this Trump crowd here in Tampa, Florida. They're saying things like CNN sucks, go home, and fake news. Wolf, obviously, all of those things are false. We're staying right here. We're going to do our job and report on this rally to all of our viewers here tonight, Wolf.
And if you're familiar with CNN and this idea of fake news, I mean, here you're talking about a quote-unquote a news organization that has been involved in numerous obvious agenda-driven campaigns, really against the American people, because the American people, in order to have this viable republic that is the United States, it needs a quality free press. No one's going to argue that point. The problem is that we don't have a quality press, let alone a quality free press. What we have is a set of corporations, of which 94% are essentially owned by the Israeli government. We are, as far as our press goes, an occupied nation. And so when you have people like Trump saying that the media is an enemy of the American people, well, that is all very well and good and true. At the same time, we have to make the additional stretch, the additional link, that it is the Israelis and Jewish people in general, based on the comments I see out there on Twitter, that are really enemies of the American people. They are putting the state of Israel first. They are harming Native American people, their rights. They are harming them in so many different ways, quite frankly, when you look at organized Jewish political power in the United States. You know, when you look at that rally the other day in Tampa, one person has had a T-shirt reads F the media. Well, yes, F the media. Of course, that media is Jewish power, folks. That media is Jewish power. So when you hear F the media, you got to link it quickly to F Jewish power. Now, the problem with the general public out there, Joe Blow public, working mom and pop out there, the true Americans that are backing the Trump phenomena, they have yet, as an aggregate group, made the connection or been able, they have yet to be able to make the connection between the media and Jewish political agendas targeting the people of the United States. They haven't been able to make that yet. And that's, of course, I guess, to the credit of the Jewish media, control of so much of facets of the American instruments of state, to include the colleges, public education, the politicians, etc. But these are issues that are going to have to be made. We have to slowly grow the base of those who get the fact that the media is an enemy of the American people. I don't think there's any doubts about that anymore by a lot of people in the United States. That is an absolute fact. And people actually are getting that part. But now we have to cross over to this idea that the Jewish media and Jewish political operations in general, that is what is the primary problem with what is going on inside of the United States today. Now, Acosta, after this rally, he made it his way back to Washington, and he goes into this press conference. He acts as if he owns the press room. This is the presidential briefing room for the press. And Acosta is one of these arrogant, he's like a 5-year-old acting in an adult world. It's like nobody's taking the time just to slap this guy, spank the hell out of him as a kid, smack him upside. Nobody's taking the time. And I'm not talking about doing it violently. I'm talking about discipline wise, you know, that old good old fashioned discipline. He's never had anybody discipline him. He's just a spoiled, idiotic brat that just doesn't know how to shut his mouth. He's so disrespectful, so rude, so arrogant. It boggles my mind, but this is the face of the Jewish media at the end of the day, because he's just part of the Jewish media. And he was asking Sarah Huckabee, he says, well, can't you get the president to say, or can't you say that the press is not an enemy of the American people? And here's the exchange with Acosta and Sarah Huckabee just, I believe, yesterday.
But for the sake of this room, the people who are in this room, this democracy, this country, all the people around the world are watching what you're saying, Sarah, and the White House for the United States of America, the President of the United States should not refer to us as the enemy of the people. His own daughter acknowledges that, and all I'm asking you to do, Sarah, is to acknowledge that right now and right here.
I appreciate your passion. I share it. I've addressed this question. I've addressed my personal feelings. I'm here to speak on behalf of the president. He's made his comments clear.
Yeah, exactly. President Trump, I mean, for all the things we don't like about Trump, and there's a lot of things we don't like about Trump, he is basically on the foreign policy scene He makes some statements that give you hope, but for the most part, this guy's a Likudnik. He's an Israeli Netanyahu type of operative. This guy, he's not somebody that is actually going to advance American interest on the global scene. He's going to advance only those interests that parallel or dovetail into Jewish interests. So that's something that we have to deal with, and we have to take the victories where we get them. We understand that America is essentially largely a Jewish-dominated country. It's run by and for Jews. It's not run by the American people for the American people. Trump talks about giving the nation back or giving the country back to the people. Well, if that's going to happen, then the people are going to have to realize sooner rather than later that Jewish domination of our political institutions is the enemy of the people. As a general rule, you know, there's been this huge upsurge in charges of anti-Semitism. If you've been following the UK election cycle, it's absolutely bonkers, folks, how many charges and allegations and insinuations are thrown out there that, like, the UK's Labour Party with Jeremy, I can talk after four glasses of whiskey here, Jeremy Corbyn is somehow an anti-Semite. The reality is Corbyn's no more an anti-Semite than I am. I'm not really an anti-Semite. I just want to look out for my own interests. And those run counter to Jewish interests, bottom line. And that's the key point here, is that we have a situation where Jewish people out there want to throw a label over everybody in the political sphere that if you at all voice any opinions that run counter to Jewish opinion, to Jewish agendas, Jewish interests, that somehow you are, quote unquote, an anti-Semite. And by default, you are supposed to be driven out of the political process. This is exceedingly dishonest. It's exceedingly unfair. It's uncouth. There was something here, Peter Tatchell, and he's talking about in the UK, and it extends into the United States also. These Jewish groups work in unison. And his Peter Tatchell puts out, he says, there is no widespread anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. It's a great party. That's too good. It's the future. Inside the Eye Live Intelligent Media. For the politically aware, it's prime time. You're back. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Line, primetime, August 2nd, 2018, and a good Thursday afternoon right now to all of you in the United States and Canada. Really early evening if you're on the West Coast. For me here, it's already Friday morning, 1:30 in the morning here locally, and I had somewhat of a nap today, so I'm a little bit rested. I'm not doing the video today, the live streaming on YouTube, and that's a heck of a lot less work. Doing radio, folks, is easy. Doing video, I really admire those who do a really solid effort on the video front. That's a tough go. Anyways, it's listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. It's the platform, everybody. Everybody needs the platform. We don't have platforms out there. It's very tough to break in and get yourself onto an AM or an FM station out there, but we have our FM. We are broadcasting on an FM station. We do have a string, from what I understand, of, I think, 11 to 16 micro FM stations that pick up the feed. We are broadcasting out on live listener-sponsored lines. Not listeners. Well, they are listener-sponsored, but, you know, a lot of you guys are driving right now in your trucks or something, and you listen to the show, from what I understand. I didn't realize this, quite frankly, till some of you guys educated me. You know, you're listening out there literally on your phone through the listen line. So there's lots of things we're doing to provide you with a mechanism or a way to listen to the show. And all of that costs money to run all of this stuff. And so we really do need your assistance to keep that network alive, up and running. If you really like this show, and we know a lot of you do, again, we first ask that you support the network. If that's all you can support, support the network. Once that's covered a little bit, folks, and we're not asking for much, we say $5 a month. And if you did, I swear, if you did 100 of you guys, it would be so easy to just have everybody be quiet and we would have everything covered because it's guaranteed every month. After the network, obviously the support coming into me has been okay last month. It was okay. We didn't have a great month last month, but it was still okay. You know, we paid out a lot of bills last month. We paid some of the people that help us on the backside to provide a little bit of extra spending money because they're also tight. So I take some of your donations and I distribute to those who help me on the backside equally. So when you help me, I'm not necessarily pocketing the money. In fact, I'm not pocketing any of the money. I'm putting it to work for the product here. And that includes those who help me behind the scenes. And so we do ask that you obviously support the network first. If you got something left over, come support me. And again, we had an okay month last month, and we're already started. Okay, Bill, William, thanks for your donations already to start August. It's a nice way to start the month, so we appreciate that. But again, if you guys can get out there, all of this takes money. It's not a joke. It really does take money. Unfortunately, you got to put your wallet where your mouth is type of thing and do the walk and all that kind of cool stuff. And that makes it much easier to continue to do these shows and not stress out every month as a lot of people probably do. And I can appreciate that equally. The Cat Report, the ITEL Cat Report, ITEL Primetime Cat Report, is proudly sponsored by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com, the official archiver for Inside the Eye Live and Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Been doing that now since 2012, and we have seen our numbers crash, quite frankly, our Listen Live numbers crash on archive.org, so we have looked at a commercial service for now. It's like $17 a month to host all this stuff. And last time we did a test market on this commercial service because we want the numbers. And what happened was we had 100% to 120% more listens on the commercial service than we are seeing on the archive.org official archiving location. So either Archive is fudging the numbers, they're blocking the downloads. We don't know what's going on with archive.org. However, we see a literally 100% increase in the downloads and the listens if we go to a commercial site. That's like $17 a month, but that's actually covered and paid for by grism.blogspot.com. So again, he covers it for all of his efforts, and that's this show and so many other shows. So if you appreciate what they're doing, friendsofgrism.blogspot.com, which is the official back-end web consultant / technician now for Inside the Eye Live. And he says, hey, support Grism. So there you have it. If you have any type of work to do inside of the movement here and you'd like to have some very professional stuff done, then that would be great because always, obviously, any type of work is good. I'll tell you what, we have now finally, after 5 years, 6 years of doing this, our website actually broke the million barrier mark on Alexa. It's never done that. I've always been mired down at 4.1, 2.3, 1.6 million, something like that. But with the changes that have been made and the optimizations we've made to our website, we actually cracked the million website mark, and we're like 200,000 in the United States, something like that. So we've seen some progress. We've seen some improvements, and that's all great. And that's because I believe we have some very professional people now behind the scenes helping make the website more efficient, more optimized, more productive. And again, if you have any work that you would like to have done, give us a call or send me an email at thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com. That's thefetch@insidetheeyelive.com. If you've been following the Cat Report, and I know a lot of you have, we've had the new kitten that's been coming to the door for the past month now, really, something like that. And we never had a name for him. It is a he, and he's officially been named Spikers. That's right, Spikers. And the reason he has been named Spikers is because whenever he sees me, his tail just goes straight up into the air, and the hair on his tail just like spikes out like he's like some punk rock cat from the 1980s. So I kind of said, you know what? You got a, like a spiky look to your tail, man. I'm going to just call you Spikers. So Spikers knows his name, I think, already. So when we yell out Spikers, he comes running to the door. We have secretly, everybody, secretly allowed him into the house when Bruiser's not around. You know, when Bruiser's like hiding or sleeping, we sneak Spikers into the house. And he's such a lovable kitten. He's too frisky. He likes to be petted. He is, I don't know how to explain it, but he is really way too frisky. We've also had a lot of cases where cats now, because we've been feeding Spiker at the front door, a lot of cats have been coming to the front door stealing his food. So we're trying to put just enough for him to eat. I don't want to be feeding the whole neighborhood, everybody. But the Spikers is now official. Spikers is part of the cat report. So welcome, everybody, to Spikers. Bruiser was in big trouble this week, maybe because he doesn't like alcohol. That is my guess. But he was lying next to me, I think, Tuesday night. And he just kind of mauled my face, and I just kind of beat the heck out of him. I said, don't you ever do that, man. Literally, he scratched above my eye, a little on the eyebrow, around my eyelashes, just not the eyelashes, but the eyebrows on the side of my face. I was bleeding pretty profusely there, and I'm not sure why he did that, what triggered it. It might have been just a whiff of alcohol, and he freaked out. I'm not sure what it was. But he got into really big trouble this week. Everything's okay now. He's still a sweetheart. He's still a good guy. But, man, was he in big trouble this week because of what he did. It was too close. He literally almost got my eyes. And, obviously, you can't have your cats doing that to you. So he got into big trouble. And it was very cute today because they bought a new bed for the cats, just one bed. And we put a pillow in it. It's a pretty big bed, actually. And so One Eye likes this bed a lot. Bruiser likes the bed a lot. And today I went out into the front room, not the front room, but the family room. And One Eye was sleeping in it. And Bruiser was just, he can't see, but he can smell. And he was just sitting there looking at the bed, knowing, absolutely knowing that One Eye is there and he can't do anything. However, this morning, One Eye was sleeping and Bruiser actually snuck in. It's big enough for two cats. And so Bruiser actually snuck into the bed, and they were both sleeping together in the bed. And when One Eye woke up, that was the end of that. There was a big hiss, and Bruiser quickly retreated from the bed. And that's the way it goes for poor Bruiser. He's just has to get a little bit extra attention there due to the blindness. Now, normally he sleeps in the window here in my office where I've got some pillows, and he can actually sleep kind of like on the ledge out there with a gated wrought iron gate that would protect it from him falling. We put the pillows on the wrought iron gate, and everything is pretty cool for him. He likes to sleep there, but right now it's shut, so I had to move him out of the window, and he's gone. I don't know where he's at. Maybe he's giving One Eye a bad time. I'm not sure. But it's been very quiet, very cool with the cats. Both of them are sleeping right now, I assume, and it's been very nice, very quiet. One Eye has been very cool, very casual. They've been so well fed. I fed them today, and they didn't even eat. That's right. My cats didn't eat. I'm like, what's the matter with you guys? And but that's the way it goes. That's a good thing. It's good to be a cat around the fetch house. That's for sure. That's the ITL Cat Report, everybody. Again, sponsored by friendsofgrism.blogspot.com. And for your IT, not really IT, but for your web, back-end web needs, certainly we've got one of the better professionals working out there. So give us a call or send us an email at thefetch@InsideTheEyeLive.com, and we'll get you guys hooked up and, again, put one of the better people out there working on your web property to make it as efficient as possible. Let's see. What else is kind of cool out there? Where's my mouses? I got the mouse here. It's like here, man. And I think we can do something like this and like this. It's time now, everybody, for the Oy Vey moment. It might help if I cue it properly, though, huh? So let me do that, and then cued. I think it's now cued, everybody. Let's try it again.
Oy vey. Oy gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy vey.
Oy vey.
Oy vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I drive on Boyum Gears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The
Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. All right, everybody. And this week's Oy Vey Moment primetime is from, really, Israel slash America. That's right, Israel slash America. And what it is the Jerusalem Post is one of these rags that finds anti-Semitism everywhere. You know, you just kind of take it in stride, but it lets you know by studying their framing just how anti-American Jews really are. And the article read this way: Trump attacks Koch brothers with anti-Semitic dog whistle. And then it says here, in quotes, the globalist Koch brothers, who have become a total joke in real Republican circles. Well, as you guys all kind of know, in Jewish parlance, the real globalists are those who are rootless, those who are cosmopolitan, those who actually don't have an identity relative to a nation. They are the ones who don't care about any nation. They only care about their own interests. And with the Koch brothers being described as quote-unquote globalists, well, then the Jewish community at large, or at least its editorial media organs, they immediately jump on it, on the phrase, and they assume that quote-unquote it is anti-Semitic to state such things. Check this out. U.S. President Donald Trump used an anti-Semitic slur to attack Charles G. Koch and David H. Koch, sibling mega donors to the Republican Party, in a post to Twitter on Tuesday. Well, here's the thing that I don't understand, and what, again, we as Americans, as British citizens, as Western national citizens, that we really have to start taking into stride. Play the angle in a way that you can intelligently do so, tactfully, intelligently, sophisticatedly, but you got to start raising this issue. First of all, Jewish people have their own political interests. We can respect that. We understand it. We grasp it. But we don't find it valuable to our nation or in our societies to allow two mega donor punks like the Koch brothers to influence our elections across the entire nation. They are but two people, folks. They are two people. And when you have these Jewish mega donors across the political spectrum and largely within the left leaning, but still within the Republican Party equally, funding every single candidate out there, what this is doing is buying American politicians. Now, Trump, he says something to the effect that the globalist Koch brothers, who have become a total joke in real Republican circles, are against strong borders and powerful trade. I never sought their support because I don't need their money or bad ideas. They love my tax and regulation cuts, judicial picks, and more, Trump wrote. Well, here's the thing. Jews across the political spectrum, quite frankly, largely do not want to see the borders closed. They understand that diversity, the destruction of our nations, is the strength of a globalist mindset. They don't want to see you be able to live in peace and prosperity. They don't want you to have your own elected officials that can go at the local level, the state level, the national level, and represent your interests. What they want, what these globalists want, is a loaded game, a rigged game, to where within even months, weeks, months, a year, or whatever, people get driven out of office if they're ethical, or get bought and sold if they're not ethical. That's the Koch brothers, folks. They want to buy everything. As Trump says, I made them richer. He says their network is highly overrated. I have beaten them at every turn. They want to protect their companies outside the U.S. from being taxed. I'm for America first and the American worker, a puppet for no one. Two nice guys with bad ideas. Make America great again. That was Trump's comment. Well, my point here is that we should not be tolerating massive Jewish money being pumped into our systems as a people. This should be a critical issue for the people itself. Because what we're finding now is that these types of globalists, and now, you know, look, Trump didn't say Jews. He said globalists. But the first thing you hear from the Jewish mouth is anti-Semitic. It's the first thing. Now, if you go over to a place like in the UK, I hear things like this. There is no widespread anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. It's a tiny, ugly minority. Well, screw you guys and your attitudes. Really, I'm so sick of Jewish people using this type of framing in the public sphere. Because he says, but even one, see, he says, but even one, this is a Peter Tatchell, at Peter Tatchell on Twitter. He says, but even one anti-Semite is unacceptable. Well, who are, screw you Jews, quite frankly, screw you guys. Because first of all, everybody, even the President Trump, is quote unquote anti-Semitic, and everybody knows he's not. But you Jews want to sit there and tell us that just one is not allowed in the political process. So what are you really saying to us? That we should not have our right, our ability to actually go out there and have a representative republic that represents our interests, that it has to be subject to Jewish idiocy at every single turn? And then now that we have already this type of political infrastructure in place, that it does serve Jewish interests at every turn, we're not supposed to criticize the idiot Jewish community that has enabled all of this BS to proliferate within our nations. I'm talking about open borders. I'm talking about shipping our jobs overseas. I'm talking about engaging in fruitless and absolutely senseless wars for the state of Israel. I'm talking about creating universities where Jews predominate at major, major elite universities, but what they turn out is a bunch of brain dead morons. See, look, when you have this message across the global scene, I'm talking about global here, folks, but it's largely the West because that's where Jews reside. When you have this issue of Jews saying just not even one anti-Semite, what, they make the comment? They make the declaration? These little scumbags? Literally, I'm finding these people to be scumbags, folks. These guys aren't even human. I mean, you want to talk about Untermünchen. Who are they to get in our collective faces, honestly, and start to treat us like this in our countries? They're a minority, folks. I was arguing with a Jewish group the other day on Twitter. And the guy's going like, well, you know, in Israel, Jews aren't a minority. They have rights. What do you mean they're not a minority? They're not just a minority. They're a hostile enemy of the British people, just as Jews in America are, for the most part, hostile and enemies of the American people. Very simply put. Now, when I look at things like Trump being called an anti-Semite by the Jerusalem Post, because he calls the Koch brothers globalists, well, okay, now we can say for a matter of fact, globalism is a Jewish construct. They've owned the phrase. They just bought the phrase. It's theirs. They've just admitted to us. We Jews are globalists. Okay, now your enemy is the globalists. Bottom line, Jews are saying they're globalists because they are equating Koch to the globalists, and it's anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish, basically, to make the chart, to say to even say these things. See, Jews want to tell us what we can and can't say. Do they live in a little childish 5-year-old world where only Jews get to talk and everybody else has to say and remain quiet, like, you know, put a little piece of tape over their mouths and sit on their hands? Is that what I'm hearing? This is, well, is that? That is what I'm hearing from the Jewish community now. I don't know what you're hearing. I don't know what you believe. But this is what I'm starting to see and hear every time I start to read these types of charges. Trump says here, let me go back here. Trump has used the term, as according to the Jerusalem Post, Trump has used the term globalist before. Oh, big freaking deal. But that's a big deal in the Jewish community, folks. Otherwise, Jews wouldn't be writing about it. They wouldn't be talking about it because they know it's right. They know that they're globalist. They're rootless. They're cosmopolitan. They're loyal to no nation. Understand that clear. Jews, as a general rule, are loyal to no nation other than the Jewish nation, which is a globalist nation, which does not believe in borders, does not believe in a strong national economy, does not believe in strong national identity. It is globalist. Now, Trump, for his part, said that the Koch brothers are terrific. He may be a globalist, but I still like him. He is a serious globalist. There's no question. In his own way, but you know what? He's a nationalist. He loves our country. Well, no, he can't. That's the whole point, Trump. He can't. You're letting your emotions and your intellect get in the way of reality here, Trump. Jews who are globalists do not have any loyalty to the United States. They have a loyalty to what is and is not Jewish identity politics, Jewish agendas, Jewish national interest, which is by default counter to the national interests of the United States. Now, the Anti-Defamation League, which is one of these other hate-filled groups that is largely, as we know, Jewish. Well, it's a Jewish hate group, I guess we could say. They've declared that if you use the term globalist, you're anti-Semitic. Oh, isn't that nice of you? So basically, what are you trying to tell us? We don't, according to the Jew over there in the UK, nobody's allowed. If you're anti-Semitic, you're not allowed in the political process. So what you want to do is you want to deny us our right to self-determination? That's the whole point here, folks. Jews want to deny us our right to self-determination. Bottom line. Bottom line. Now, he says here, the ADL says, although the term is not inherently anti-Semitic, globalist is often used as a pejorative term for people whose interests in international commerce or finance ostensibly make them disloyal to the country in which they live. Well, I guess you guys, you Jews, get it because you understand exactly what we're talking about. You understand it. Those who are for open borders, for shipping out jobs, for basically allowing the tax base to be siphoned off and sent overseas, guess what? You're a globalist. And is it our fault that the vast majority of you, and certainly not all of them, but the vast majority of you are Jewish? Is that our fault? We're just observing the facts here. And for Jews to constantly call us and berate us for simply observing reality, folks, if you just don't start shoving back sometime, you're going to lose at this rhetorical game. The ADL talks about how Jews have this, man, this website of the Jerusalem Post sucks. The ADL is talking about how Jews have a long association with money. Well, gee, that's because they're in the banking sector, folks. They're the only ones that steal everybody else's wealth through usury. It's kind of like common sense, but they want to make common sense sound as if it's some fringe lunacy called anti-Semitism. It's becoming absurd. It's the Fitch. Inside the Eye, live primetime. Back with more right after this. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's Inside the Eye, live primetime with the Fitch. Right here, August the 2nd, 2000. and 18 as we now enter really into our eighth year. That's right, man. 8 years of doing Inside the Eye Live, Inside the Eye Live Primetime now producing 5 hours a week of, I guess, fetch style content. I don't know what else to call it, everybody. I got up, everybody, went and got my last glass of bourbon and seven. That's it. I'm going to stop after this. I don't think I'm slurring my words just yet. And I sure as heck wouldn't. I've been on networks where where the hosts are up there drunk on their you know what, trying to be entertaining. I think I found that kind of disrespectful. But I hope you don't mind my just imbibing just a little bit today because I don't know. It's just a nice day, and I it's Thursday. It's the end of the week here, starting my weekend tomorrow. So I hope you guys don't mind. Join me if you'd like in the chat room inside the iLive.com, inside the iLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That gets you in the door. Or give us a call, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. I'd love to hear from you again. All right, there's a call coming in now. That's a good thing. Because it's your show equally. Frank, hi. Welcome inside the Eye Live.
Oh, hi, Fetch. How are you doing?
I'm fine, man. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm sitting in a car listening to you over my listen line, you know. I'm dialed in and it's raining. Hopefully you can't hear that. We've been getting a lot of rain. I tell you, I wish
well, that's good.
Out west.
Yeah, well, I guess
they could
so. Yeah,
it out west.
Yeah, they could. But for me, I wish. You know, I haven't seen any solid rain probably in a year and a half now. Would you really like
two
years
like that? After a couple weeks, you'd probably be sick of it again.
Well, you know, I'll take it. Send it this way, man.
Yeah. It's a pendulum, you know. It swings one way and then another. It's all that. More.
What's happened?
It was a great first hour. Great first hour. Really good. And, you know, you said something funny. You said it was one of those things that I think it sticks in your head. Let me see if I can remember it. America. Run by Jews for Jews. I thought that was very concise.
Yeah, it's run by and for Jews. I don't see how that's a mistake even, Frank. I think I'm pretty accurate on that one.
Well, I wanted to give you one that popped into my head today.
All right.
Just put it out there in case anybody might find it useful in the future. You know how, you know, it's long been, you know, since the days of the Ron Paul Campaign for Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Audit the Fed, right? You saw it everywhere.
People were saying
it was all over the internet. You had the signs. How about audit the Jew?
Yeah, I don't know what to say, but yes. Audit their networks, audit everything about them. This is generally done, Frank, by intelligence services, but unfortunately they're run by Jews too. But yeah, we have a major problem in America right now. And I don't think the people really grasp how serious the problem is relative to Jewish domination. I don't know if you saw this thing coming from something, Mark Levine or something like that, New York. And there was the Identity Europa, which is a younger group. They were making they were going to go somewhere into some community. And Jews went off on how join us to stop hatred and xenophobia. It's like, what part of denying kids and groups their right to self-determination do Jews not understand? And I think that's where we're going to have to start shifting the debate. Because Jews keep talking to us about how with anti-Semitism, denying Jews their right to self-determination. Well, okay, fine. Where's our right to self-determination? And if that means free from you guys, that means you stop calling us anti-Semites because we want to be free from you. There's nothing wrong with that. That's called self-determination. And we have a right to voice it. And they don't want to allow us to do that. That's what's getting very frustrating. And I don't know how to cross over, Frank, from this audience that we have here into that big, massive Trump base that's just on the not quite necessarily on the hump, but you know, with a little bit of framing, they might get there, you know, something like that. Just a little bit of trigger might trigger some of that.
Right. Yeah, that's the big question. I haven't figured it out yet either.
Do you think, find like the Hannity's, and I've seen some things from Hannity lately that's been playing in our hands. I've seen things from Tucker Carlson that's playing in our hands a little bit. Are there some shifts now in conservative media in America that's starting to mirror what more we've been saying over the years?
Well, I used to watch Sean Hannity every night back in the day. That's been a long time ago. I haven't followed him in a long time, but I have seen some Tucker Carlson last year, and I was really impressed. And I had access to some cable TV there for a while, so I was seeing him on Fox, and I hear a lot of what he says played, audio clips played, and I'm very impressed with Tucker Carlson.
Me too.
I can only imagine his days are numbered. But he goes about as far as I think you could possibly go and continue to be on air.
Yeah, I agree. But I think from now, I mean, the left side of America has become really unhinged. I think that's becoming more and more apparent to a lot of Americans. It's becoming mainstream. We saw a little bit of a victory where the police in San Jose that stood down are now going to be able to be sued by Americans who were basically led into an Antifa crowd and got really violently attacked. So that could be a positive development. But for the most part, Frank, I don't know what to say. You know, we keep doing this every week, as you know, two times a week. And where do you think
You said you were on six years now. Now,
seven,
is that just like Revolution Radio?
No, this is my eighth year, starting my eighth year. So I've done this 7 years. I started in July, last week of July 2017. I mean, 2011.
Okay, but you haven't been at Revolution, right? Because I know I've listened to you a couple other places before you came.
I was on Oracle, and then from Oracle I came to Revolution Radio. I think Lori and Fenton recruited me. She was the recruiter. She heard that we were shutting the network, and I think I'm the only one that came. Others went to UNCY or something like that. Others went to Truth Frequency, and Truth Frequency is a very dodgy place based on comments I've heard from them. They're very sketchy. I mean, they're dishonest. They've actually gone out and made comments about me that are just blatantly untrue. Just underhanded, low-handed, really scumbag type of stuff. So it's not just being dodgy is being polite about those guys. And what else? You know, but for the most part, I think Revolution Radio with this show, we've kind of carried the banner the most. You got Renegade Broadcasting. Yeah, they've covered. Republic Broadcasting Network has done some work, of course, not quite like I would do, but still. And a few others, you know, David Duke, of course, is doing what he's doing. And we have a lot of anger from some of the listeners about that. But for the most part, I don't know, Frank, I think we've done a good job. I think we at least don't have Hillary in power. But when I hear Trump say things like the globalists and the Koch brothers, you know, he's like kind of friends with them. But he seems at times to give you at least a little bit of glimmer that like, yeah, he gets it, but he's one of them equally.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what to make of them. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Whatever I think of it is not going to change anything. So I don't spend a whole lot of time. I don't stay up nights trying to figure Trump out. He's obviously not his own man. You know, I hear people trying to make the argument that he is. And I guess on one level, people might make that argument. But, I mean, he's obviously not. He's obviously they've got stuff on him. And they can control him when they need to at just the right moment. And, you know, I picture his attorney general, Jeff Sessions. I picture him, like, sitting around in an office all day watching, like, Reefer Madness or something, you know. And from what I understand, his all of his people around him, his his crew, his cabinet, whatever you call it, were hand-selected by Rosenberg. Rosenstein.
Yes.
You know, those aren't the people that he had working for him back when Trump chose him. They got rid of all those people, and Rosenstein runs the Justice Department from top to bottom, is what I keep hearing. So I don't see much hope there. I mean, you know, I mean, why wouldn't he fire him? I mean, I guess somebody's telling him, no, you can't fire him.
Yeah, probably. I don't know why they don't fire him either. I mean, this Rosenstein and this whole investigation, the Mueller investigation and Trump saying it needs to end, I agree. I'm just tired of hearing about it. You've had all these years, unless Trump is trying to go this 4D chess BS, and they're just trying to keep it going, to just keep outing people. But for me, you know, Hillary's already guilty. She should have been arrested a long time ago. You, me, nobody would have had the courtesy Hillary's gotten. Obama should be arrested as a traitor, quite frankly. He's often
Eric Holder,
Susan Rice, the Bushes, quite frankly. The entire elite infrastructure of America should be arrested, plain and simple. Right. I mean, I'm not sure, like, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, you know, the Crown Prince of Saudi, is doing the right thing. I think he's spooking a lot of people. But from what I've heard, when he took out those 300-plus-some-odd people, it really changed things. Now, it spooked a lot of people. It's hurting their economy. But at least he had the guts to do it, you know. And there was a problem there. There really seriously was a problem in Saudi. And we have a problem, but we have nobody that will do anything, Frank. I just don't grasp America. But I guess the way it's structured, this Jewish-dominated monstrosity we have is just protecting their backs everywhere they go. I mean, come on, 9/11 is still open after all these years. I mean, it's a big Achilles heel. Obviously, Jews were behind it. The press was behind it. And we can't touch these guys. It's so maddening, you know? It's almost like you need a dictatorial takeover of the country. And just, if you have the power of the people behind it, just start working. And I'm told, DeFetch, be careful now. Don't get into the extremism. We have to try to find a parachute landing. Jews have already rigged the America. It's going to fall. The derivatives are going to kill this country. Da, 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 da. And we don't want to see mass starvation when it falls. So we got to find a way to get the young folks educated as quickly as possible and try to replace the boomers as quickly as possible, because you guys aren't going to be here forever and you're the last, you know. I get this type of stuff all the time. So Fetch, try to do this. You know, I get people advising me behind the scenes, and I hear what they say, and I grasp some of it strategically, quite frankly. But it's frustrating. It's just frustrating to watch this nonsense go in circles the way we do. Did you hear?
And it's disgraceful. It's disgraceful. What, you know, that nothing is. No one's been held accountable for 9/11. That's a national disgrace. And the thing is, though, Fetch, I believe that, you know, organized Jewry, I think they really have something even more diabolical planned for the American people and the West, particularly the white race. I think they want to really rub our faces in the mud while we're going down. I mean, you know, I think there are going to be people that are looking for a little bit of mercy going all the way down, and they're just going to go down and they're going to acquiesce. They're going to submit. I'm not going to. I'm going to go down fighting when I'm backed into a corner. I'm one of these guys. I'm kind of very cynical and pessimistic, and I'm not going to go looking for a fight. I'm not going to go out there and try and be a hero or a martyr or anything like that. But, you know, when it comes time and they back me into a corner and I know, hey, I'm going to prison for the rest of my life or whatever, you know, I'm not going out nicely. I'm not going quietly into the night.
No, a lot of us aren't. But we certainly need help in the deep state side of it. You know, there is a deep state. There is a secret side to this world. It is a national security nation. And has been since 1947. We definitely need help. I mean, we can only, really, to me, Frank, our goal has always been to help create the political base. And with Trump, it got elevated beyond our wildest imaginations. A lot of hope, a lot of you know, a lot of hope really is, I guess, the thing. But a lot of enthusiasm. It's still there, quite frankly. But it's very difficult to tap for us. We seem to have lost momentum, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. Hope does have a value to it. It does. But too many people just do not. I don't know. I don't know if it's my age. You know what? It's not my age, because I always had the ability, the capacity to acknowledge the hard truths in life. And I didn't want to, because most of my life I was always very idealistic in it. And you know, and even to this day, I'm one of these people. I always put everybody else ahead of myself. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's in traffic. I pick up litter.
Yeah, this is a healthy trait of our culture, though.
Yeah, that's the way I was raised. You know, I was. It's very healthy, and a lot of that's missing. I don't see it going well, and a lot of people are just looking for the easy way out, and they can't handle the hard truths. They want to be fed little lullabies to put them, you know, to make them feel safe and everything's going to be all right. And you know, I'm willing to say, you know what, everything's probably not going to be all right. You know, so be it.
You know, what do you? Frederick Blackburn, Blackbird Nine, you know, over on Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club. You know, he keeps talking about what they're doing now to the Appalachians, the North Carolina situation, where they've come in, they bought up the newspapers, they're trying to open the corridor, break this little region open so that basically they can get mass migration coming up through the coast. You know, a lot of us get it. A lot of us keep explaining it, but the people just don't seem to want to unite and fight against it effectively. They want to allow, I guess, these newspapers to continue to, you know, basically insult, slap them in the face, really. And we keep saying, you know, we don't want to get violent. We don't want to do threaten. But how do you fight when you don't have a government that has the ability to rein anything in? It's like the FCC should have cut in to this fake news a long time ago. They have the legal authority to do it. They are the regulator. Right. They are the government. But they don't touch it. Why not? It's like, why? What are you doing? Why are you allowing a CNN to continue to proliferate as they are? Why are we allowing it? As a nation, it's become a national embarrassment. This government.
Well, we have all the laws. We have all the laws. Everything's in place that we need, but we have no enforcement. We have selective enforcement and selective targeting, you know, and you know, everything's in place, but the wrong people are in all the gatekeeping positions. And that's only going to get worse, from what I understand. That's only going to get worse just because of demographics in general and the flood of, you know, non-whites and non-European-type people coming into the country.
Yeah, did you hear that really sick story coming out of Minnesota? You know, the globalists, you know, to use a nice term, flooded Minnesota with a bunch of Somalis. We've already had the Somali cop shoot that Australian woman for no reason, basically. And now you've got a 74-year-old guy had his eyes gouged out by a Somalian migrant. It's like, you know, to me, it has become so frustrating, because I live offshore, as you guys know, and I saw what the Saudis did to all of this trash that came into their country. Seriously, man, they did such a good job to clean up their country for their people. And I'm like, I wish our country could act and behave like the Saudis. And can you imagine Americans saying that? It's like unheard of. No, you think, you know, but on these issues, migration, immigration, et cetera, I really wish Americans, the police, everybody involved would not go to Israel, but go to Saudi Arabia and learn how to do it. And that might sound strange to Americans out there, but folks, the Saudis, they actually are protecting their national interests. And I see it with my own eyes. It's like, but how come I can't get Americans to understand this?
Well, it's the Bible. They're God's chosen people. Jesus was Jewish. I mean, this is what they believe. They've been indoctrinated, or their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have maybe instilled this into them, and plus the Holocaust. plus, you know, slavery, the white guilt thing. And people have been so instilled with guilt, with this guilt complex, white privilege, and all that. And I don't know how we overcome that unless people just finally, there's so many examples around them of this is intolerable that, hey, you know what, to hell with that. We got to look out for our own self-interest or we're going to be destroyed. And then you have some people that say, you know what, we need to be destroyed. The white people need to be destroyed. I mean, they've really bought into it. You know, the white, once we're all gone, then the world will be a better place. I mean, it's, you know, it's Stockholm Syndrome and all of that.
Yeah, and the problem is it's not the white people that need to be replaced. It's the Jewish people that need that.
Right.
If we could get rid of this Jewish influence in our nations and our national psyches, we would be great people. We've always been liked. We've always been admired. It's this chasing after this Jewish Rothschild banking, search for commodities, BS. That's been the problem.
Yeah, it's the artificial, the board, the board game. It's not natural. It's not organic. People who probably could do pretty good, you know, in the world, if the Jews weren't here, a lot of those people don't do very well because they can't play by the Jewish rules.
Yes, and then Jews to scoff and mock at them. Oh, you're just a failure in life. And I'm like, yeah, well, people played by a fair play, and, you know, the game was not rigged, people would not necessarily be failing.
You know, the perfect example of that is what you do. And what I do, they can never debate us.
No.
You know? I mean, they can never debate us on an equal playing ground. All they can do is cut us down, shut us up. You know, it's like Alex Jones does with me when I start getting a little too close to the truth. Cut him down, you know, cut off his microphone, you know. That's all they can do. The other side, they can't debate. The facts don't back them up. The facts back our side up.
Well, I'll tell you what, Frank, it's been a... It was honestly a difficult week this week for yours truly, man. I don't know why, but it's like starting Monday, Tuesday, I was like so depressed. I don't know. All of this stuff was just starting to depress me, you know, all the Twitter ban and the shadow banning. And I'm thinking, you know, I work so ethically, so honestly at my craft, and I'm seeing that the game is just rigged against us. And it's so frustrating because it's literally rigged. You know what I mean? There is not a level playing field right now, and it's not even close. And when it starts, the magnitude of the way it's rigged, when it starts to settle in, you think, oh my goodness, why am I working so hard and like spinning my wheels and getting nowhere? And people start to begin to why, you know? But then, of course, that's the whole point, is to make people give up, become discouraged and not try anymore. But I'll tell you, this week was tough, man. I'm like, yeah, you know, it just hit me, man. All the effort, 8 years of this crap, so to speak, you know, not being disrespectful, but 8 years of this, and look where we've gone. We've done okay, done well, but boy, it just, you know, we've seen a lot of growth in the bigger side of the picture. But you just realize just how difficult it's been because of all the rigging that goes on. And it's so depressing, to be honest with you.
Well, you know,
not to be down, everybody. I'm generally a positive guy, but I'm just being honest with you over the air, everybody. It was just it just hit me, you know, the shadow banning. And now that, you know, I understand how like the Twitter shadow ban worked, you know, it was rigged from day one. I'm like, you SOBs, you know, you really SOBs. What's, you know, when I look at this, Frank, and the way they play the game, I just see the most disgusting sleaze ever, because I can't imagine playing by such dirty rules. I don't believe in playing dirty. I believe in being fair, open, honest, integrity. This type of dirty playing that these guys are engaging in, the Twitters, the Facebooks, the media, the politicians, the Jewish, all these various Jewish groups out there that target you behind the scenes, you know, like I can't even get on Talkstream, for instance, because of Jewish groups. It's so disgustingly unfair that I swear if the tide ever turns, I swear I don't want to see a single Jew come to me and cry about how they're being victimized. Get the frick out of my face. And I don't care if you lose everything because you didn't care when you knew the game was rigged and we were losing everything. Get out of our faces. And that the Germans destroyed you guys for the most part, I don't care because that actually has to happen again. We have to get rid of these people. Bottom line, they have to be gotten rid of. There is no choice at this stage because they've already gone down on record. We are going to destroy them.
Yeah, we're just incompatible. We're our differences, our ways of existing and everything are just irreconcilable.
Okay, Frank, we're going into a break. I didn't hear the music that time, so we're going into
a
break.
All right, well, I'll let you go.
Thanks, man. Nice to talk to you. We'll be sending out some stuff. We'll be back in touch.
Okay, then. Thanks.
All right, take care. All right, buddy. Welcome back, man. It's the Fetch. Inside the Eye Live. Actually, yeah, Inside the Ally Primetime. See, I got it right. Again, here on Revolution Radio, revolution.radio. Again, one of the largest listener sponsors, supported radio networks, everybody. Tell you what, it was really a difficult week for yours truly. I don't know why, but I'll tell you. When I was reading so much about how Jews, I guess PLC, ADL, Facebook, Twitter, elsewhere, are engaged, Google, of course, are engaging in information constriction. I think that's a very good word out there, information constriction. I was absolutely stunned at just how oppressive this Jewish construction really is. It is not a joke. And, you know, the sad thing about being in this level of knowledge, this layer of awareness, is that you can never go back. There's no way you're going to go and return to a blissful ignorance. And I don't think anybody that's gotten into a state of awareness wants to go back to this blissful ignorance. I don't think any of us wants that. That's like a whole different world ago, a different life ago. It's just not in our cards anymore. We must now deal with the reality that we know to the best of our abilities what really is going on. When we continue to chip away at this power structure, it's massive. It's perhaps transdimensional. It's an evil. There is a layer of real, true evil that most people cannot even begin to grasp, let alone understand. It's out there. It exists, folks. It's military. It's political. It's economic. It's the intelligence, the national security world. It's the technology world. You know, everything. You know, if you go in, I was talking to someone last week or maybe this week, and I said, you know, I just deal with the political issues. But if I were to actually delve into the, let's say, which interests me, the technological stuff. I used to be in the optics world, electro-optics, which that takes you into the world like directed energy weapons and things like that. If I were to be dwelling in both the political world and like directed energy and things like that full time and just spending all my time on that, I probably would, I don't know what I would do. It would become so depressing and so mind-boggling. And then there's the other issues, something like the vaccines. I mean, the way that the vaccines are literally murdering American children. America has one of the highest infant mortality rates going on planet Earth. And theoretically, as America, we have such amazing people, such amazing innovation, such amazing technology. We should be able to wipe things out so effectively. You wouldn't need to have migrants coming in. You would have wonderful, healthy children coming up generation to generation. That's the true nature of how your government should work, to protect you and your posterity's interest today and into the future. And any foreign element group like the Jewish community that wants to create an open borders, mass migration cesspool, they are your enemy. Bottom line, they can call you anything they want because that's the way words work. And they're going to be vicious. They're going to be vociferous. But in many cases, and trust me, I do, you have to stand back, take the blow, realize that they're going to every now and then hit you with something that causes some self-doubt, and that's something that these Jewish people rely upon. They want you to have self-doubt. They know the game is rigged. They know statistically that so many people in the quote-unquote the white community aren't doing all that well. They understand that you have a legitimate gripe with the government, with the way the system is run, but Jews are not going to give up their power. They are not going to give up their privilege without a demand upon them. That's how power works. Power accedes nothing without a demand. And we have to continue to make these demands at the local level, at the national level, etc. Folks, it's happening. Nobody says that I need to be all that negative, you know, and depressed and all that as we've been this past week, and it's just a number of issues. But folks, the battlefield, the battle space, it's rigged. It's rigged by a bunch of low-life cheating scumbags, essentially, that don't believe in plain fair. They grew and rose to power by our ability, or our, let's just say, our grace, our goodwill that allowed for a level playing field, because that's how we grow ourselves as a nation, by having fairness, by having fair play, letting the best ideas win, letting the best technology rise to the surface. But we're not in this situation anymore. The biggest welfare whores on the planet is the vaccine industry. They're the ones, I mean, it's just amazing that as soon as somebody seems to find some information and dirt on the vaccine industry, the government is coming in to shut them down. Well, why is the government acting as a thug for a private corporation? And then you start to see that the game is rigged. Why is this doctor having his office raided just because he found some nanoparticles inside of some vaccine? That's not the role of the government, to act on behalf of that corporation that's making the demands. See, in my world, and of course it's not my world because obviously I'm not the one in power, but in my world, if some corporation came to my government agency and acted and demanded that, you would have so much problems for that corporation, they wouldn't know what to do. And if they want to play dirty, well then, in my world, the government would play dirty with them. They wouldn't allow this type of scumbag mentality go about harming the interest of the people. And if they want to play dirty, no problem. Governments play dirty all the time. I'm not advocating that we should turn to this at just because, but when you have an enemy that doesn't play fair, that doesn't respect integrity, that doesn't respect honesty, that is using the government for their own private agenda, then the government itself should be used as an instrument against these types of companies. That's the role of government. Part of the role of government is to protect the interests of the people, not to protect the interests of a bunch of idiots inside some corporation that are harming the people. And we've gotten to that stage now. We've gotten to a situation where the government agencies, which are us, theoretically, are working on behalf of private thug corporations. Why on earth are we allowing vaccines to kill so many people, for instance? It's a huge issue. It's an obvious issue. Why are we allowing child protective services to feed this child pornography industry, this child pedophilia industry? Why are we allowing that? Why are we allowing this Hollywood elite to essentially run roughshod over the morals of the country? Why are we allowing Jewish politicians to try to create laws that silence our very right to open and fair speech? Why are we allowing certain groups out there to silence political debate just because they don't like the fact that we have a better argument? See, these are all key issues. Anybody, listen, if a Jewish person is going to come to me as an individual or as a group and say, anti-Semites should not have a seat at the table, I'm going to say that anybody that uses the term anti-Semite should not have the seat at the table. Because if you're going to have one side not having a seat, then the other side should not have the seat either. That means every single Jewish person that uses the term anti-Semite should not be allowed at the table. Furthermore, since it's okay for Jewish people, Jewish organizations to destroy careers, businesses, livelihoods for people, then theoretically, in a level playing field, it is okay for the instruments in the hands of other organizations to destroy every single Jewish person that engages in these types of activities. See, no one's saying, go target all these Jews. No, we don't care about that. But if Jews are going to play a game of target the white guy because we don't like what he says, then there's at some point, where do you not fight back and target the Jewish guy? Where do you not destroy their business? Where do you not put them out of business? Where do you not make it impossible for them to survive within their environment? Because that's what do you think? All these homeless people, how many of those homeless people in America are there simply because the policies put in place by Jewish people make it impossible for them to even get back into society? How is that right? Think about it. You have a situation in America today, for instance, where Jews have engineered a financial collapse. People are having problems everywhere. You can talk about how, oh, the wonderful economy of America, but no, the rising number of people living in their car, there's a rising number of people living in their cars in America. How sad is that? Trump, with all due respect, dude, it's a lot worse. Now you take someone that came out because he had a little drug problem 12, 15 years ago, but because he's quote unquote a felon, he can't get into an apartment, so he has to live on the streets. How are these types of policies fair to Americans? And who are the renter class? Not the renter class, but who are the landlord class? Who's the landed class here? Start running the math backwards. Who stole all the wealth? Who involved America in a situation where we've blown trillions, at least hundreds of billions, on like a failed Bay of Pigs in Syria? How stupid was that? And who's being held responsible for that? Why are Jews allowed to consistently get on our media and talk as if somehow sending America to war is like... I don't even know how to explain this, man. It's so bizarre. But they get on TV and it's like they don't even have an ounce of empathy for the families who have to actually go wage these wars on behalf of these Jewish elites. You know, Israel, all the money that we send to Israel every year. I don't know if you saw the latest facts coming out, but the U.S. Senate just passed a new defense bill. I think it was like $717 billion, something like that. Now, never, ever have we had an organization like the Department of Defense. They've done absolutely nothing with as much. They've done nothing. They've been given everything and done nothing. They've lost everywhere. They're everywhere on the planet, but they've just gotten their, excuse my language, but they just had their asses handed to them in Syria. And this was nothing but basically a larger Bay of Pigs. Do you guys realize that? Syria, when you break it down from us as an American perspective, this was nothing but an even more expensive Bay of Pigs. And if you're not familiar with the Bay of Pigs, that was the CIA's attempted invasion of Cuba back in the early 1960s with Kennedy. Do you realize Syria was nothing but a Bay of Pigs operation for a bunch of pigs in Israel? Bottom line, this was a Bay of Pigs for the pigs of Israel, period. And it was nothing but a boondoggle. They lost. They had their asses handed to them. As of today, the border between Jordan and Syria is now clear. The Syrians have said it's open. We are now just waiting for the Jordanians from a political side to say, okay, let's talk about mutually opening the border. The entire border today has been declared cleared by the Russians. There was another desperate infiltration attempt by some of these terrorists that are CIA, the geniuses. They tried to get infiltrated into Jordan, that both the Jordanians and the Syrian government forces just killed them in the field. For the most part, the entire section now along Israel is secured. The Russians today began literally patrolling the borderline. There's a couple lines. There's an A line, a B line. They're patrolling the closest line to Israel. They're patrolling with the United Nations the first time since 2011. And it wasn't the Syrian government that caused the UN to withdraw. It was the CIA people. It was the Israeli people that were causing the problem that caused the United Nations to withdraw. And this was back 2011, folks, when I started doing this show. And we've been dealing with this crap for, what, 7, 8 years now? And you know what? It's the most idiotic operation done by an intelligence service anywhere. Literally, what a bunch of freaking morons trying to go and take down a sovereign nation like that. They've gotten their asses handed to them. Even today, just today, the minister, the ambassador of China has gone on record as saying today that we are prepared to militarily help the Syrians clean up the Idlib province, which is now the main province. And then you've got, after the Idlib province, you have Sweida. Sweida is protected by who? The Americans. Why are we Americans protecting a bunch of literally murderous, kidnapping, terrorist thugs? Because what? We're run by Jews? Give us an answer as an American. We're telling you we're run by Jews. Okay, you're going to call me, quote unquote, an anti-Semite. I don't care what you want to call me, because I don't trust any of you morons anyways. Tell us why we're there. Tell us why the Americans are sitting there in the middle of the Al-Tanf region of Syria. For what? And everywhere around is a hotbed of terrorism. For what? So that the military men of the American military can blow $65, $70 billion on what? In the meantime, I've got American citizens sleeping in their cars. I've got still 45 million Americans on food stamps. See, at some point, folks, all of this becomes absolutely idiotic. We are allowing an idiotic elite run themselves and the country into the ground. Then, of course, never mind the other technological side. Let's leave that for now. The Chinese today, folks, went straight up on record. We are willing to put our military under the service of the Syrian government. Today, they've said that. We are ready to do that. Now, there's something called the Night Tigers. They're like China's special operations forces. They were rumored to have arrived in Syria all the way back in December, although this has been denied by the Chinese government. But from all indications on other intel reports, the Chinese special operations are already there. Iran is already there. Now, Iran, for their part, after this operation along the Israeli border, they've honored a deal and they've pulled back from this Jewish monstrosity called Israel. They've done that. But folks, we are entering now in the Middle East an end game. America, for its part, it lost. And who's going to pay us back? I heard Trump the other day saying, we spent all these trillions and they're going to have to pay us back. Who's got to pay you back? The Israeli elites in America? The state of Israel, which you are so in bed with that you do whatever Netanyahu wants you to do? Again, Trump, you don't seem to grasp geopolitics sometimes. The people around you, I don't know if you're either stupid. You like to tell us you're a genius. I don't know. Maybe you're just stupid. You're a genius here, but you're stupid there. Folks, and I'm not anti-Trump, by the way.
I like a lot of what this guy does. But when it comes to the Middle East, he's like, dude, you are so up the you-know-what of the Jewish people, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You don't have a clue. And you're surrounded by a bunch of idiots that are just a bunch of Israeli front agents. And how are you going to give us a front, a Make America type of great policy when all you do is surround yourself with a bunch of Israeli idiots? And that's what you've got. You lost in Syria, you freaking moron. You get that yet? You got your butts handed to you. Now the Russians are toying with you, and they should. They're toying with you electronically. They're jamming your communications. At what point are the generals going to say, you know what, we're going to have to pull out of here? But the generals are too freaking stupid because they're just a bunch of political monkeys in Syria. They don't have a freaking clue. Nobody gets it. Now, the other day, you heard maybe the deal about the pastor. I'm not familiar with his name, but it's a pastor in Turkey. And he was been arrested and is being charged with helping the Falun Gong. I think it's not Falun Gong, but the Gul, I forget the guy's name, the Gul movement, whatever this guy's name in Turkey. I forget his name offhand at this time of night. Now, he's been accused of this, and he's looking at like 17 to 30 years inside of a Turkish prison. Now, it's very unusual for the American embassy to engage or to come to the aid of American citizens in a foreign country. Don't trust what your State Department and propagandists tell you. It's very unusual. Generally, what the U.S. Embassy does is they look at your case. They say, okay, here's our lawyers. You can call any of these recommended lawyers. And then they leave it. They don't want to be involved. So for the U.S. State Department, Treasury, and everybody else to be involved in this particular pastor raises, unfortunately, serious questions about the pastor. Why is the U.S. Now, I would like to think that the U.S. government is actually doing something, but I know they don't normally do anything. They just leave you to hang. They don't care. So what's up with this pastor that they actually are taking an interest? It kind of lends credence to the Turkish side. Now the U.S. government has sanctioned the Minister of Interior and I think the Minister of Justice or a Deputy Minister of Justice inside of Turkey. That's called the lira. That's caused the Turkish lira to fall to down to like 5 Turkish lira to every $1, something like that. It's lost like 20% of its value in a day, literally in a day. Now, the fallout, we don't know yet what's going to happen. It's not sanctions against the entire Turkish nation. That's not the case. These are essentially targeted sanctions against 2 individual people. That's it. It's nothing more than that. Now, it's fallen to its lowest levels in history. And that puts about 300, I think, million. I don't know if it's million or billion. The story was written improperly. But U.S. dollar denominated debt inside of Turkey at risk, which could, again, be a major problem. The Turks are looking there. Now they've got financial problems because they don't have the strong currency anymore. You've got the Chinese coming in saying, we're going to take Idlib. Idlib, guess who's in Idlib? Turkey's in Idlib. Okay? Turkey is in Idlib. The Kurdish have already said, look, we want to reintegrate into Syria, which makes the Americans redundant. It makes them kind of obsolete. Folks, it's an end game. The Middle East, for the most part, the Iraqis, the Saudis, everybody. I mean, we Americans are generally really good people. America's a great place. Seriously. Really, it's a great place. It's a welcoming place. We Americans generally are very great people, and we're liked for it. But our government, the people operating this stuff, there's so many questions. Not so much in Saudi, but in Iraq, I can tell you a lot of questions. But they're saying, you know what? Dennis, you know, your military controls our airspace. We can't even get control over our own airspace yet. We have commercial control, but we can't, as Iraqis, control our airspace. The Americans won't give it to us. The American line is always this. Well, we gave it to you when Saddam was in power, but then you used it to go and attack the Kurds, so we're not going to give it back to you. That's the logic. I mean, there's a lot of dirty crap going on over here. It is depressing to watch. But for the most part, relative to Syria, it's been great news for the Syrian people. We've had over 650,000 refugees return now to the southern provinces of Syria already. Thanks, no thanks to these stupid Jewish people running our policy. You know, and then we've had situations, you know, with the migration crisis and all that inside of Europe. Folks, it is serious issue time right now. Folks, you need to start waking up to the real game in play. This is not a joke. These Jewish people are aiming to destroy Western civilization, bottom line. It's not about whether you can vote for your candidate, whether you have a right to say anything about your political interests. It's, is that person an anti-Semite or not? Does he follow us Jews and worship us Jews or not? And if he doesn't, he's not allowed to be in politics anymore. That's tyranny, folks. That is basically a bunch of sleazebag opportunists, globalists, foreign elements controlling your countries. And literally, that is where the main enemy is as we speak today in the political realm. You know, Tommy Robinson, if you've been following the Tommy Robinson case, this is basically a pro-Israel he's pro-Israel, but he talks about the Muslim grooming gangs inside of the United Kingdom. He's got a pretty big following. But the problem is his following is all pro-Israel for the most part. They don't have a freaking clue that the problems befalling the United Kingdom is its Jewish political power structure. They don't have a clue because so much of this organized opposition works for the Israelis. They work for Jewish people. And that's a huge, obviously it's a huge problem. Oh, I'll tell you, Syria, it's coming to a head. Acosta, we finished the Acosta story. But I found it funny, you know, going back to the first hour when we were talking about Acosta. He says here, I'm tired of this. It is not right. It is not fair. It is not just. It is un-American to come out here and call the press the enemy of the people. And Ivanka Trump knows that. I don't know why her father doesn't. I don't know why this press secretary doesn't. And my thought to Acosta is, first of all, Acosta, you're not news. You're entertainment. As someone sent me in my chat privately here, Obama revoked the Smith-Mundt Act in America, that is, folks. And now the media companies, they're just entertainment companies. They are under zero obligation to actually be news reporting companies. There are no news. There is no free press in America. Get that through your head when it comes to our open air media companies. That's the ones that use the airwaves. There is no news in America. It's all entertainment. It's propaganda, folks, and they're allowed legally to be propagandists. And they are an enemy of the American people because now they can't, technically, you can't even hold them responsible anymore because there is nothing to hold them responsible to. They're entertainment companies. It's like the National Basketball Association. It's NBA entertainment. It's not a sports field. All right, everybody. I've been ranting for a bit. It looks like we're going to go into a break here, and that'll end the show, of course. Thanks for listening. Catch you Saturday inside the iLive prime time, and catch you then. Good night.